Bring them like Andrew. Let's see what that's going to be about. It is indeed the Feast of St. Andrew, November the 30th. And Andrew's one of those guys who we don't really know a whole lot about from Scripture. He pops up now and again, and we can gather some okay information on him. But he has his day set aside on the liturgical calendar. And we're going to find out in a moment why it's November the 30th. But again, a little bit, we don't know a whole lot about him. We do know this. He died a martyr's death, and thus the colors for his feast day are red. And you can see we've changed out our scarves to honor his martyrdom and all those who have laid down their life for the faith. I thought I'd start with a little bit of a true-false quiz, just to see how much we know about old Andrew. Andrew, true or false? Andrew was one of the original 12. What do you say, true or false? True? Anybody want to go against that? True. Very good. Good Bible students. How about this? Andrew was a fisherman by trade. True. Definitely true. Final answer? All right. True. Y'all are doing good. How about this? Andrew was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. True or false? False. Anybody want to go? Oh, Margaret isn't so sure. She's thinking about going against the grain. It's true. Andrew was actually and we're going to see some scripture about that in just a moment, because it kind of completes our circle of understanding of who this guy is. He was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. How about this? Andrew was the very first apostle called by Jesus. True or false? Margaret's got a definite maybe going there. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Definite maybe. Definite maybe. You think it's true? You know, It is a good, definite maybe that we can actually pin down hesitantly, just as Miss Debbie did. We're going to see some scripture for a moment about that. So, in fact, let's look at that very fact, because it is kind of interesting. Because I would suspect, if you were to ask average Christian, who was the first apostle Jesus called? Simon Peter, right? That's people are just going to say Simon Peter, right? I mean, he's the man. You hear about him all throughout Scripture. He's usually going to say something that's going to get him in trouble. He's usually going to be impulsive in his actions and his responses. And he is a great model for who we are. A bunch of goofy people trying to make it through this world, trying to follow God and messing it up as we go along and being forgiven anyway. And so Peter would make perfect sense that he would be considered the first apostle. And what we're going to find out from two gospel accounts is it almost implies that, but John nails it down for us to let us know it's actually his brother Andrew. Let's review. We heard tonight from, I might have this out of order, Maddie. We heard tonight from Matthew, so let's look at that one first. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers. They were Simon, his other name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were putting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Now you notice who got mentioned first there, right? Simon Peter. Peter always gets first billing, right? Okay. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fish for men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Mark gives us practically the exact same account of the calling of these two brothers when he says this. As Jesus walked beside the Galilee, he saw Simon, there he is first, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, but get this, all right? We can be led to believe that because we always have Peter's name first, that he would be considered the first of the apostles. But John gives us a little gem that often gets overlooked that puts Andrew in a very, very special place in Christian history. And that's kind of neat, and that's what we want to zone in on tonight, to see what are those little special gems about St. Andrew that we can learn about how to live our Christian life. Check this out. Andrew, John's Gospel account, first chapter. Andrew, Simon's brother, that's kind of neat. John gives Andrew first billing and says, you know, he's Simon's brother. Andrew, Simon's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Now, I'll give you a little background. We're going to look at this a little deeper in just a minute. But what do you think John had just said, John the Baptist had just said? What he had said was, "There is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." Okay? So these two brothers hear that. John gives Andrew first billing. Andrew, Simon's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Christ. Isn't that kind of cool? You just don't, until you get to the real specifics, it's easy to kind of think you know what's really going on in these stories, especially when two other gospel accounts, they don't directly tell you, but they let you believe that perhaps Peter, and of course Peter, you know, gets accelerated to fame, and even in the Western church today, as expressed through Roman Catholicism, the Pope is the chair of Peter, right? Not of Andrew, it's of Peter. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to bring them like Andrew, because that's what Andrew really does a good job in. And this is where I think the take-home message for us rests, that we don't need to be the big dog like Peter to be able to be effective as ministers for Christ. And each and every one of us is ministers, not just an ordained office. Every one of us is called to the ministry of Jesus Christ, to go out and make disciples for the world. So let's take a look at how Andrew goes about this. John's gospel account gives us three significant stories about Andrew that feature him quite prominently, kind of sleepy, almost quietly, but when you really dig into it, you see Andrew's got some action going on here. So let's look at him. We're going to begin in John, the 12th chapter. It says this, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip." Now, Greeks are Gentiles, right? So they were born not Jewish, but they've obviously begun to convert to Judaism, because this is before Christ is crucified, buried, and resurrected, before Pentecost, before we have the start of the church. So these Greeks, these Gentiles, have converted to Judaism, and they're catching on that something is special about this guy named Jesus. And if you remember in John's gospel account, what he says in the very beginning was, Jesus came to his own. Who are his own? The Jews. Came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But look at these Greeks, right? So there's some Greeks among them who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip. And biblical scholars suggest the reason they probably went to Philip is that Philip's name is Greek. And so they could relate. They figured, hey, he's one of us. Let's go see him. They came to Philip, who was from Bethesda in Galilee, with a request. They want to ask Philip something. They say, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Now watch what Philip does. Philip doesn't take them to Jesus. Philip takes them to Andrew. Philip went to Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. This is story one of bringing them like Andrew in John's gospel account. And again, it's subtle, but we see this guy playing the role of an evangelist. He's bringing people to Jesus. Number two, from John's gospel account, moving backwards, we're in the 6th chapter. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. We know what he's going to do, right? He's going to feed the masses. He's going to create a miracle. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Oh, the negativity. How many times do we do that as Christians? We can't get that done. We discount the part of turning it over to God and letting miracles come in our lives. Another of his disciples, this is where it gets interesting, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" And we know the story. Jesus has the people sit down, there's plenty of grass. What's he do? He feeds the 5,000. We actually have pictured here a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. Because what does Jesus do? He takes the bread. He breaks the bread. He blesses the bread. He feeds the people, which is exactly what we come to church for, to be fed on the Word and on the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. But the key to this little story here is Andrew spoke up and he tells Jesus, "Here is a boy." Number two, he's brought a second person to Jesus. And now a third example of this in John's gospel account. We made a little reference to it a few minutes ago. From John 1, first chapter. "The next day, John was there again with the two of his disciples." Two of his disciples. Who do you think they are? Andrew's one of them, right? Yeah. "When he saw Jesus passing by, he says, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' And they said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' 'Come,' Jesus replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother," you catching on that John's gospel account's a little bit different? He upplays Andrew and downplays Simon Peter. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. It's how we know he was one of the apostles, one of the disciples, rather, of Jewish baptism at the time through John the Baptist. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. And of course, the rest is history. Jesus looks at him and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which we, of course, translate to Peter, the rock, right? The rock. So, interesting story. Andrew brings them. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing too, folks. We're supposed to be bringing people to the Lord. And Andrew didn't work hard at it. He just took the opportunities when they popped up. And that's what we need to do every day in our lives. We come across people. There are people out there who see what you have, and they don't quite understand it, but they want it. And you need to tell them what it is. It's Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit living in you. That even when times are tough, you've got the strength to get through it because you've got a support network called the Family of Faith, the Body of Christ. Wrap it up with a few fun facts on Andrew. Wrap it up with a few fun facts on Andrew. Andrew's the patron saint of fishermen, and he is the patron saint of Scotland. Fact, look at the flag of Scotland. What does that look like? Looks like a blue field with a white X, right? That white X is called the Cross of St. Andrew. Why would it be called the Cross of St. Andrew? I'll tell you why. After preaching the good news around the shores of the Black Sea in what's now Greece and Turkey, Andrew was martyred by crucifixion in Petros. He was bound, tied up. He wasn't nailed. He was bound rather than nailed to a cross, but it was an X-shaped cross. And because he was bound rather than nailed, he lived for quite a while in that condition, days, in fact. And the story tells us that what this is extra scriptural. We don't see this in scripture, but the historical stories tell us that the entire time he was on that cross, he continued to profess his faith in Christ Jesus. He continued to be a preacher of the good news, attempting to bring people to the Lord. Now, wrapping it up, let's tie it into Advent. You say, how are we going to tie this into Advent? Check this out. Just as Andrew was the first of the apostles, his feast is celebrated in the Western Church as a marker of the beginning of the new church year. And you say, well, wait, the new church year doesn't start till this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent. His feast day, November the 30th, means that the first Sunday of Advent is right around the corner, because the first Sunday of Advent is always the Sunday that falls closest on the calendar to November the 30th. So that's how we get Advent. We get Advent based on November the 30th being the feast day of the guy who brought people to Christ. And that's our call. We're to be like Andrew this Advent. We're to bring people to Christ. One of the ways we can do that, talk to them. Have a relationship with them. Invite them to church. As St. Francis was quoted as saying, preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. We can preach the gospel through our actions. We can be like Andrew, and we can bring people to Christ. And I pray that you receive it and that you think about how you're going to do it this Advent season. Amen? Amen. Amen.